We have been in a series and taken a few weeks off in a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we take a look at the Bible. How many know that our text in church is the Bible? If the text isn't your Bible, I don't know why you're going to church or what you're going to church for. I could deliver three poems and a couple of nice statements from philosophers, send you home, and you won't have anything to strengthen your soul. But if I, as a faithful pastor, can deliver to you, what does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? The Bible teaches the Bible. Then you go home with something solid to hold on to. Anybody in this room love the Word of God? I do too. So this morning, we're going to pick back up on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, if you've not been with us, there's a series that is marked out in its own box. Thank you to Dan and Roxanne, who handles our website, which is gracechristiancenter.us. gracechristiancenter.us, and it's on the website if you'd like to listen to the other messages. But this morning, I'm going to deal with the vocal gifts, and namely, about prophecy. What does the Bible say about prophecy? We've been through lessons on the revelatory gifts, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, etc. We've talked about the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We spent considerable time, and there's a pamphlet in the back, a very good pamphlet on speaking in tongues and what is its place in the service or in the personal life. But now this morning, let's deal with prophecy. And Pat, if you'll come and turn in your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and reminding you of context, you have your gifts of the Spirit in a sandwich or a biblical perspective of love, if you will. You have 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that deals with communion and the love feast. Remember, as the Apostle Paul took these passionate people running after God, and he tried to give them some understanding and some teaching on how to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. They were close to the Oracle of Delphi, and those people who went to that fortune-telling device as this priestess would get stoned on the vapors that came out of the rocks and then deliver some babble, and then other priests would interpret it was a demonic thing, but that's what the Corinthians understood as speaking in tongues with interpretation. So Paul then had to, there's your context, teach them what do the gifts of the Spirit mean? How do they operate? How do they flow? It's not like the idols of the past. This is something different. So 1 Corinthians 11 talk about how to have a spirit of love in the congregation. Then you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are to be manifest in the congregation in a setting of love. Love for God, love for His people. How many of you have heard some of the old stories, the nightmares over generations where people would stand up and prophesy judgment and gloom and doom on one another because they had offense in their relationship with one another? How many know that that's not God's way? The Bible says there's to be love manifest in the body of Christ and a building up of the body. So 1 Corinthians 11, love. 1 Corinthians 12, gifts. Then, who knows what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about? Love. So Paul says, desire the gifts, but remember, I show you a better way, which is love. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, goes back into the gifts of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit are all about the context of love in the body of Christ, love for Him, love for one another, desiring to see the best happen in the body. Now, how many in the church want to hear the voice of God? How many want to know God's way, written in their hearts and on their minds? Oh, God, speak to us is our prayer as we come to the congregational setting. We're in the Word of God, we're Bible readers, we're Bible studiers, and then the Holy Spirit anoints that to speak through His people. We heard it this morning. Good prophecies and tongues and interpretation. It's all in the Bible, and we've spoken about these things, but we want to do what the Bible says. Even if you don't understand it, my heart is that you will say, okay, well, there's something there. It was done decently and in order. I didn't see anybody swinging on the chandeliers this morning. Okay, that was different, but I did hear the voice of God. If it's not confirming to the Scriptures, it doesn't belong. And so we need to have the Bible as our root and foundation. Someone say amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, and I'm reading from the New King James. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. There's the context of the Delphi Oracle. Alright? You were carried away as Gentiles to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, and there is someone in the congregational setting who would go with what they thought was the flow of the Spirit and had called Jesus accursed. How many know that's not God? If you hear a prophetic word that does that, walk, run away, and get out of there. You're in the wrong place. Okay? But this says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the
Holy Spirit.
Let's say it together. Jesus is Lord. Amen. We give the Spirit room in our lives. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the, say it with me please, same God who works all in all. Why is God giving the manifestation of the Spirit to the church? Let's read what the Scripture says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, please say the next phrase, for the profit of all. So God's after someone profiting by all of this. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Say the last verse with me that we'll have in this section this morning, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. All right, the vocal gifts, which take a speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We want God present in our services. Again, I'm repeating, I know. But we want to give God room. How many know God says He will build His church? It's His church. So we want to build it according to what the Bible says. So we welcome Him to direct us and lead us. He's the one we've come to please. Alright. What is prophecy? There is a difference between a prophesier and a prophet. And we spoke at length about the prophet in the fivefold ministry. But now this morning, we're dealing with prophecy in the congregation, or a prophesier. Because one prophesies does not make he or she a prophet. If you wear a mariner's cap, does that make you a professional baseball player? No. How many of you wish you could go help that team? Okay. Alright. So there's a difference between the prophet and the prophesier. But let's look at prophecy defined. Let's go ahead and lift it up a little more, if you would please, Pat. It is a divinely inspired and anointed utterance, a supernatural proclamation of God in a known language. How many heard God speak this morning in a language you understood? What is prophecy's purpose? To edify, to exhort, and to comfort. That's what the Scripture says. We'll read it in the next page there. Great. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. I use a lot of Scriptures here this morning. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So there's a bringing forth of the prophesied word of God to strengthen, to exhort, and encourage. Now, exhortation can include biblically some measure of conviction. Anybody in this room ever sin in your life? That's why you're in church, you rotten sinners, you. No, we all know that we need the Lord. So sometimes a prophecy will bring conviction to our heart. But prophecy, biblically, is not there to bring condemnation to the saints. We lift up Jesus. Prophecy should lift up Jesus, guide us to His Word, guide us to relationship with Him, because God wants us right with Him, and we want to be right with Him. And sometimes we put our little toesies in the water of sin and we should back away. Amen? Back away from the sin. Right? Three of you agree with me. Okay, the rest of you, get out of the water of sin. Okay? All right. So there can be that measure of confrontation to our spirit when a prophecy comes and we receive it from the hand of God in His love, but not condemnation. The spirit of prophecy comes in the midst of worship. The Bible tells us as we look. Let's look in an Old Testament scriptural section. 1 Samuel 10, verses 5 and 6. After that, and he's speaking, of course, you'll know the leader in a moment. You'll come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. It will happen when you have come there to the city. You'll meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them. And they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. How many remember who that was speaking to? Saul. That's right. Now, because someone prophesies once doesn't make them a perfect man or woman of God. All those who prophesy can say, Amen. Amen. All right. But there's a spirit of prophecy that comes in the midst of worship. We read elsewhere that Elisha called for a minstrel to come and begin to play on his instrument, and then the gift of prophecy came through him. That's our next scripture, 2 Kings 3:15-16. Now bring me a musician. That had happened when the musician played. The hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, and went on to explain to them the tactic God wanted them to use to have victory in their war. All right, what prophecy is not? What is it not? It is not interpretation of tongues. There is different kinds of tongues. There is interpretation of tongues. Tongues is inspired utterance in an unknown language. We had an example this morning. Interpretation of that tongue is an inspired utterance over that which was spoken in tongues. Remember also, it's not a direct translation, right? It's an interpretation. Sometimes the message in tongues can be shorter and the interpretation longer. Sometimes the message in tongues longer and the interpretation shorter. But what is prophecy? It's an inspired utterance in a known language apart from tongues. All right, what else is it not? It's not prediction or fortune telling. How many of God? All right, prophecy is usually forth telling, speaking forth of the Word of God, rather than foretelling. Prophecy in the congregation is usually that which speaks to our lives now, builds us up in encouragement and strength now in our walk with Jesus. Turn to each other, shake somebody's arm and say, now you need to be encouraged. So I'm encouraging you. Prophecy helps us, therefore, in that now walk with God. Now, there might be a future element to it, but it leads us to Jesus and to His Word and the fulfillment of His purpose in our lives now. What is prophecy not? Well, it is not to lead you away from God and His Word. Watch this very carefully. And I'm going to preach this with strength and teach this with strength because the Bible does. Watch what the Scripture says. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. And you think about the United States of America and around the world right now. If there arises among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the gift or the sign of the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, Let us go after other gods. Let us go after other gods. Does that sound like America right now? Let us go after other gods, which you have not known. Let us serve them. Or they're all equal. Come on, have an open mind. It's all just fine. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You shall not, verse 3, shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to see whether, testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after who? The Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. What's your sign? My sign is the sign of the cross. How about you? You know, I mean, oh, it's all just normal, isn't it? It's all just acceptable. And the zodiac and gosh, witchcraft, no big deal. Or necromancy. Or how about Wicca? We're just going to worship the earth. I don't go to church on Sunday morning. I go play golf because I worship the greens. Boy, then you're going to turn brown after a while like they do. Creation helps you worship the Creator, but we are not called to worship the creation. Is there something wrong with those? Well, Kevin, you're just a bigot. No, I'm a Christian. I love you, but the Bible says, and that's my faith and practice. That's my foundation, my platform for living. So I love you enough to stand for and speak the truth so there might be deliverance and freedom. God forgive us in our land for not standing for the truth. What does the Bible say? 2 Kings 21, verse 6. Manasseh also sacrificed. Now, this is out of the New Living because it's particularly vivid. Manasseh sacrificed his own son in the fire. He practiced sorcery and divination. He consulted with mediums and psychics. Oh, well, that's so cool. We now have that even as our name on our television shows, right? Mediums and psychics. It did much that was, please say the word with me, evil in the Lord's sight. And how does God feel about it? Say it with me. Arousing his anger. Prophecy should always exalt God, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's moving. Prophecy is not equal to the written word of God. It should find its confirmation in the word of God. If it doesn't, you throw that prophecy away. The Bible is our foundation. It should lift up Jesus. Watch these scriptures, and I'm going to use them out of several translations, but Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This is John, of course, and he's talking to the angel. But he said to me, see that you don't do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this verse out of four translations, and what you'll see is a literal unfolding of accurate perspective of what the Greek is teaching about prophecy, because you can quote that all day long, and we sometimes do. Testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. Okay, eyes glass over. What does that mean? Well, let's look at the next verse, the next version, New American Standard. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's go with the next one. The Message. Okay, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he wouldn't let me. Don't do that, he said. I'm a servant just like you and like your brothers and sisters who hold to the witness of Jesus. The witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, I'm going to use one more version, and I've underlined a part on here, and it is very accurate according to the Greek, and it gives an explanation of what this means. And believe it or not, it's out of the New Living. Now, your doctrine, get your doctrine out of New King James, or out of King James, get your doctrine out of New American Standard, the other versions of paraphrases. It's not the same thing, but there are blessings of understanding that we can get by them. This just happens to be extremely accurate. Look at what it says. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God, just like you, your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus, worship only God. Now say it with me, please. For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Does that help? That's clear, isn't it? And that's what prophecy is to do. All right. Prophecy in the congregational setting. God's word comes out in the midst of worshiping him. We lift him up. That's what the Bible tells us to do, to lift him up in praise and worship. Our praise creates a throne for the Lord. It's a conversation, a loving conversation between the bridegroom and his bride. Who's the bride of Christ? His church. Those who respond to him. So there's this loving conversation, and that's why when you hear the prophecies, you'll also usually hear one of us in the congregation lead us in a congregational response. How would you like it all day long if you looked at your honey and said, I love you, and they just looked at you and went, big deal. Now, wouldn't you rather have a conversation where one of you says to the other, I love you, and the other one says, I love you more. I love you more than you can even dream of. You know, I used to have, remember Mary and Dean Guther used to have friends in Bowman. I love you more than the New York City phone book. I love you. Anyways, one of those fun things. That's for Dean and Mary who won't listen to this. So, all right. So there's this conversation. We're his people. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us, edify, and strengthen us. We don't shout out prophecy while someone else is speaking. We don't stop the songs in order to shout out our prophecy just because God spoke to me. Do things, the Bible says, decently and in order. There's a river that flows within its riverbanks. But as things quiet down, as you heard this morning, there's opportunity to minister the gifts of the Spirit. The moving of the Spirit in worship creates a spiritual atmosphere, not where God is more God, but where we're able more to hear Him. There's a preparation of our heart to be able to hear Him. Now, let me talk about one other aspect of in the congregation. One of the reasons the gifts of the Spirit flow in the congregational setting is that there is appropriate biblical fivefold ministry covering. Watch what the Scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Out of the New American Standard. Let the others pass judgment. Out of the New Living. Let the others evaluate what is said. Now, if you have a gift of the Spirit that flows in your heart or that works in your heart, how many of you understand it is not your gift, but it's God's gift? God puts a gift inside of you. And so that gift is to be used for God's purposes. Someone say amen. That means we are called to be servants with the gift of God. That doesn't mean I've got my gift and I will give it. It means I've got His gift, and what do you want to do, Lord? Use me. I want to bless you. I want to bless your people with the gift. Now, I'm talking about the congregational settings, and I want to talk about something because this invariably comes up when we're talking about prophecy in the body of Christ. When you do the gifts of the Spirit in a gathering, in a corporate gathering, there's mature eldership there and provides direction and strength and leadership and blessing for the people of God. He puts the fivefold ministry as the hand of ministry and strength to the body of Christ. A lot of people over the generations rush out and have rushed out in the past with something called personal prophecy. And they want to just prophesy over people all day long. You probably heard the stories. It becomes one of the blights on the body of Christ. You send me your $75, I'll send you a prophecy. You know, and that's just anathema in the body of Christ. That's not biblical. Please, someone tell me you're with me. It's just not biblical. You've had people over the generations saying, you're supposed to be married to this person, and you should divorce this person. What a travesty in the body of Christ. That is not what God's heart is for prophecy. When I go to other churches to minister, I want you to know I will not prophesy over anyone, unless their pastor is present. That may not mean much to you, but I count that as an issue of integrity in the body of Christ. We don't rush out and lay hands on people. The Bible says lay hands quickly on no man. If you have a personal prophecy, a word of the Lord, an encouragement for someone, fantastic. Bring them on up to one of the pastors in the congregational setting and say, the Lord's given me an encouragement or a word of the Lord for this person. Would you stand with me as I deliver that? Then there's strength, there's blessing, there's help, there's interpretation. So you get oversight for biblical covering and encouragement. You're responsible for what you prophesy. How many are glad for the blood of Jesus that has mercy and washes us clean for the mistakes we make? But when we do it in safety in the body of Christ, there's a great strength and blessing to it. Watch what the Scripture says, Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, I said the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. Let's look at it in a different version. An abundance of counselors, there is what? Victory. Anybody want victory in your life? Lone Ranger prophets telling people who to marry, telling people to divorce. You think that's just crazy. Listen, I was a young man, and we had gone to a Full Gospel Businessmen's dinner. It wasn't a lunch that day, it was a dinner. They were doing this dinner, and this guy named Wild Bill got up, and he had a Wild Bill kind of testimony. And some of you know Nancy Grunwald. She's been here many times with her husband Rick, and has ministered beautifully in song, has a wonderful voice. And she and I had led worship, and she and I sang a song. And so Wild Bill, who considered himself, no reference to you, Wild Bill. So this guy named Wild Bill, he just thought he had the anointing of God to prophesy. So he comes up to the two people he'd seen lead in worship, and he laid hands on this gal, and he laid hands on this guy, and he said, "You're going to travel the world in ministry and in song." Only it was the wrong wife for the husband. It didn't bear witness with my spirit. Good thing, huh? Didn't bear witness with my pastors. You know who it didn't bear witness with especially? My wife. You ain't coming in the world, huh? No, ma'am. I promise you, I wouldn't do such a thing. But, you guys, there's a reason why we stick in the church together and learn how to minister the gifts of the Spirit under proper biblical covering with mature leadership. We have a Wednesday night gathering at Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry's house where people who have never prophesied the gifts of the Spirit learn, practice, step out. If you make a mistake, you're with 20 friends. You know, most of us, though, anybody remember the first time you prophesied, your heart's beating out of you, just boom, 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 and you're just sitting there sweating, and you go, "Is that God?" And out comes this profound thing, like, Jesus loves you. Everybody in the room cheers. Yay! But there's a learning, and there's a safety in the family of God. There's a lot of havoc and a lot of devastation that's been wrecked by people insisting, "I have this gift, and I will minister anytime I want." That's not God's best. So, it doesn't mean you can't have words of encouragement for one another. Call each other all day long. Hey, the Lord put a word of encouragement. But if you've got a directive prophecy over somebody, come grab one of the pastors and say, "This is what I believe the Lord's put on my heart. Let's minister together. Don't do anything over in a corner. Don't grab someone on your own. Let's get good covering so people are safe and blessed." Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
We want the people of God blessed. Now, the Bible also says, even though it may be confusing, the Bible gives us an instruction. Watch this. Do not despise prophecies. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 21. If you really want me to be very honest with you, I'll bear my soul to you. As many of you know, my wife passed away 10 years ago. We had a number of prophecies that she was going to be healed. I don't believe it was lack of faith on our part that she wasn't physically. The Lord chose to heal her in a far better way. And she's probably up there in heaven right now saying, "Good thing you didn't travel with that girl all over the world. Or I'd be waiting to have a conversation with you, boy." But there's a temptation in the midst of our suffering or difficulty when something doesn't come to pass or something doesn't seem right or we get some word that confuses us, we can kind of despise prophesying. Say, "Well, it's not worth the powder to blow it up." That sounds like Pastor Sherry. See, that's what she would say. But we wonder about them. And God says this. Remember another scripture. We prophesy in part. We understand in part. We're growing. You give grace. You give room. If it's a judging, awful prophecy, throw it away. That's not of God. But don't despise it. Watch what it says. Test all things. Say it with me, please, and boom it out. Hold fast that which is good. Let's see it in another version. Don't despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Say it with me one more time. Hold fast that which is good. Out of the New Living Translation, hold on to what is good. Out of the next one, is there one more? Okay. Well, let's just make some up. No, I'm kidding. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. What it literally means in the Greek, what it literally means, don't set the word at naught. Don't see it, the Greek means, as a contemptible thing, but test and approve it. Is it true? Does it worship Jesus? Does it glorify Him? Etc., etc., etc. In fact, next, what I'm going to do is give you some thoughts on how to test for that which is good. Hold fast. Look for the good that you can hold on to. All right. How to hold fast. How to hold fast. I left a word or two out of there. How to hold fast to or test prophecy. Number one, does it glorify Jesus? Number two, does it agree with the Scripture? If it doesn't do those things, it's not valid. Does it produce the Spirit's freedom from bondage and sin? Does it deliver you? Or is it legalism and bondage to works that it puts you under? Does it produce pride in yourself or humility in Jesus and joy for the journey? You're going to be the prophet of all the ages. You are the best. Wait a minute. That might be awfully encouraging to the point of pride. Be careful. Does it witness with your spirit? All right, what does that mean? That's an awfully religious phrase sometimes, but what does it really mean? Did the thing that happened from the voice of the Lord, if it's the voice of the Lord, did it produce fruit?
So again, you take a look at the prophesier. You look for good fruit. You know, we want to hold fast to that which is good. And good fruit, a good clean word, comes from those who are responding to Jesus. Is that you this morning, church? You bet. All right. The fruit of prophecy in the congregation, and we'll come to a close. The fruit of prophecy. Number one, prophecy produces life. Say it with me. Would you boom it out? Prophecy produces life. There should be something encouraging, inspiring, and motivating that happens in your spirit. Remember in Ezekiel 37, the prophet spoke and the dry bones in the dry valley came together. There were bones that came together and God made Himself a man again. He stood up on His feet. It was a fantastic section of prophecy. Ezekiel chapter 37. Life to the dry bones. Church, have you ever gone to a church service and you felt a little bit like a dry bone? I got five honest people here. Me too. Sometimes we just plain need the refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible says? The times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And hearing His prophetic word can inspire us and produce life and encouragement. Number two, it gives spiritual vision. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. And in the Greek, the Hebrew, that means to dwell carelessly. People don't have a vision for where they're supposed to go, so they wander around and sometimes wander away. So the word of the Lord comes to strengthen the congregation and produce fresh spiritual vision. Number three, we've already spoken about, edifies, exhorts, and comforts, the Bible teaches us. Number four, it brings revival and restoration. Look at Acts chapter 2, 16 and 17. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. We won't check you at the door as to whether you're having dreams or visions. That was a little joke, very little joke. All right. But revival, restoration comes. And then prophecy, the fruit of prophecy in the congregation provides guidance. Acts chapter 13, 1-3, the Lord will guide us, show us our next step. Now in the church there was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. There was guidance from the hand of the Lord by the prophetic word. And then I'm going to close with this point because it's something we don't talk about often enough. How many of you know there is a real devil that brings real evil in the world? How many of you understand the scripture says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? Do you know latest surveys that have been taken nationwide show that it is a minority even of Christians nowadays who believe that the devil is real? If deception can happen in the body of Christ, the devil is thrilled that people don't believe he's real. But there is spiritual warfare, and there is demonic influence, and there is something we need to wage warfare against. Ephesians chapter 6 is all about putting on the army of God and being great soldiers of Jesus. The whole metaphor is there. You're going to get this right. That's the way the devil loves to talk to people. And so what do we do? What we do is we stand with the Word of God and say, get thee behind me, Satan. God says this about me. I'm washed by the blood. I'm His. I belong to Him. We wage warfare and have victory by the prophetic Word and the Word of God. How many can say amen? So the scripture says in 1 Timothy 1 verse 18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Look at the phrase out of the New American Standard. That by them you fight the good fight. The New Living, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well the Lord's battles. What do? We study the Word of God, have it engrafted into our souls so that we can have victory in our lives. We listen to the prophetic Word, the Word of God that came out this morning that talked about us coming close to Him, being right there and being covered by Him. And that way, when you go and you hear a voice saying, you're not close to God, the Lord doesn't love you, you get to say, get out of here in Jesus' name. This is what God said to me. I belong to Him. I'm clean by the blood of Jesus. What a great God we serve. Who wants to gather us to Himself and speak to His bride and encourage His people. Through a lot of ways, but this morning, through prophecy. Would you stand, please, Elaine? Would you come? We're going to finish with Holy Spirit, Vara, welcome in this place one more time. And what I encourage you to do is to respond to the Lord. If God's speaking to your heart, if there's been anything in your heart that's been a temptation to despise prophecy, throw that away. If there's anything in your heart that longs to hear a fresh word from God, tell Him that. But as you go this morning, go encouraged that God has spoken through prophecy and through His Word to you, and that you belong to Him. Amen? Victorious people, I'm looking at you. Are you victorious this morning? Say to one another, look at each other and say, I'm sure, God, you've got victory in Jesus. We thank you for your living Word. We thank you for the written Word of God. And we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, the prophetic Word that encourages us on, gives us strength in spiritual warfare and victory, peace and direction. We thank you most of all for the cleansing blood of Jesus and your grace and mercy to our lives. We love being your people, Lord, and so we say again, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in our hearts. We love you, Lord. And all the people said, if you're here this morning and the Lord has called to your soul and you've not yet responded by surrendering to Him, I urge you, let this be the day you surrender to Jesus. Come on up front, it will be a privilege to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we believe the Lord brings healing through the laying on of hands. Come on up front, we'll be honored to pray with you. If you have something on which you want to pray together about, come on up front, we'll be honored to pray with you. Other than that, God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord, enjoying His presence. God bless you. Be released.